All right, this morning we're starting in Romans 8, 1, very briefly where we were last week, and then we're moving on quickly to Ephesians chapter 4. So if you've got your Bible, you might want to put your finger in one and finger in the other as well. A pilot gives us some basic rules for flying. He said, first of all, nothing flies without fuel. Don't wait until you're in the air to check the gauge. Nothing flies without fuel. He says that takeoff is optional, landing is mandatory. You should never take off unless you know how to land. And finally, he said, stay out of the clouds. See where you are going. Good rules for if you're a pilot, but I find that they apply to life as well. Nothing flies without fuel. Get fed the right stuff. Get an education. Learn what life is all about. Taking off is optional, but landing is mandatory. Where are we headed? One of these days we all land. It all comes to an end. There's a goal that we should attain. And stay out of the clouds. Stay away from those things that ruin a person's life. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the fact that God's the one in charge. He is the creator, the sustainer, the redeemer, the inheritor, the judge of all things. He's the one person you need to please in order to win in life and eternity. So what's the fuel? The fuel of your life is you were created for him, by him and for him. Learn why you're here and what it's all about. Where are you going? I'm going to appear before Christ one of these days. I want to be ready. Stay out of the clouds. There's so many distractions. There's so many things, issues that come up in this life that will set you off course. You want a clear path between here and arriving at where the Lord is. Last week, we talked about one of the things that we need to work on is our mind. We want a clean mind. We cannot smut up our mind and expect to live a holy life. We cannot cloud up the things in our cranium and expect that we are going to live well. And one of the key issues in everybody's life is how they handle their sexuality. Get that wrong and you're not going to get anything else right. You can pretend, you can justify, you can whatever. But you're going to shipwreck your life if you don't get the morality factor correct. This morning, we're going to consider a few more clouds that you want to avoid. But let's take a step back to last week. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Oh, we would be so lost without it. We ships without a sail, a compass, whatever is needed, without a rudder, just floating and a victim of the drift and of the current. But Lord, you've given us your word and you've lit up the path in front of us. You told us this is the way to live. This is the way to go. Walk in it. And Lord, we're here this morning because we want to do that. And so we pray that you would give us more light. I know the older I get, the brighter light I need to read and to see things. I get a little irritable when the light is dim and I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to read something. And we need more light as we get older. Lord, we need more light as we get older. Make it brighter, we pray, by your word. And we'll thank you for your help here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So every pilot has this checklist that he goes through before he gets in the cockpit and he takes off. He checks the fuel. He checks that all the levers and everything else are working properly, that the landing gear is in good shape, the tires are properly inflated. In similar fashion, you and I have to check our attitude every day. Check your attitude. But I checked it before. I was at the altar last week. I have had this epiphany from God. Check your attitude every day. As we put up last week, hang the right list of do's and don'ts on the wrong attitude, and you end up with either legalism or liberalism. You ever known a person, they're just kind of out of sorts? We have this saying, they got up on the wrong side of the bed. I don't know where that all came from or whatever, but they're just not who they normally are. They might usually be a bright and happy and cheerful, but boy, today, you know, just give them a wide berth because they're in one of their moods. And so you want to be careful around them. Your attitude makes all the difference. You can do everything right, show up to work on time, and make your coworkers sorry that you did. You can come home and cook dinner and make your family sorry that you did. It all hangs on the right attitude. And all of us have a propensity to lean one way or the other. Legalistic or a little too liberal. So check the attitude so that we can have the right motive moving forward. And we talked about the fact that so many of us are led by guilt. We guilt ourselves into doing this or that. And whenever we're not acting the way we would like to act, we try to press in with more guilt. And other people try to maneuver us, manipulate us according to guilt. And that's just a terrible way to live your life. We need to be free from that guilt. We need to walk into the area of grace. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God is not condemning you. God is not tightening the screws. He is for you. He is not against you. He's not criticizing you. He is blessing you. And when we're in the realm of grace, unmerited favor, it's not freedom to live however we want to. It's not freedom to sin at will. It's freedom to keep trying until we get it right. You fall down, you get back up. You fall down, you get back up. I'm not as good as I should be, but I'm better than I was. And God loves me through the whole thing. And even when I stumble or get bruised or what have you, He helps me up again and He's cheering for me. And He's on my side. So keep your mind clean. Keep positive, stay strong. God is for you. He's not against you. No condemnation. Now let's move on to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So we've talked about morality and keeping your mind right. Now we're going to look at your heart. We're going to clean out the heart. We're going to have heart surgery this morning. We're going to remove some blockages and we're going to make some bypasses so that the blood can flow, the blood of Christ can flow more freely in us. And what we really want in our heart is integrity. We want to have integrity. And in order to do that, we've got to get rid of all bitterness. I don't have any bitterness. No. Well, get rid of all bitterness and resentment, jealousy, and things like these. There are a lot of scriptures that talk about these things that we need to offload as we mature, as we come along in Christ. Well, how do I know if I have any bitterness growing in me? Listen to yourself. Listen to the things you're thinking. Listen to how you respond when a name is brought up, when a situation is mentioned, even if it's from the distant past. And is that the way Christ would have you to think about that person or that situation? Have you only memorialized it in a coffin? It's dead, it's ugly, it's miserable. Or have you found some grace for having gone through that situation in your life? Bitterness is a root that produces feelings of dissatisfaction, anger, grumbling. If you're out of sorts, there's a source somewhere of that. Find the source of all that dissatisfaction, anger, grumbling, and the like. Bitterness will sour your attitude. I had some sour blueberries the other day. I mean, they looked good. They looked plump. So at the looks of them, I was expecting this sweet explosion in my mouth. And when I bit down, it was, ooh, my teeth were on edge. And yikes. And I kind of mumbled to myself, blueberries are good for you. They're full of antioxidants. Oh, man. It was more like taking medicine than eating fruit. And life is good, and God is good. And we can expect good. But every once in a while, you get some news. You go through a situation. It shouldn't be this way. No, it shouldn't be. And it sets your teeth on edge, and it sets you back a little bit. You say, what just happened here? This doesn't seem right. And we can get bitter. You can get bitter toward your mate. You can get bitter toward your job, where you live, relatives, friends, neighbors. You can get bitter about your health. You can get bitter about the weather. Ah, some people are like groundhogs. Their joy goes into hibernation for about 5 months. And, I check with me in the spring. I'll be better. I'll be nice then. But I hate winter. Boy, those things we hate, those things we can't stand, those things that make us miserable are all challenges. God is saying, spin that into gold. I will help you to take what is miserable. I'll turn your ashes into joy, your mourning into dancing. Well, you got to have some mourning. You got to have some ashes to watch him do the miracle of resurrecting what you had buried a long time. Well, that'll never work out. They'll never be happy. This will never be good. Well, what are you doing? You're doing the devil's work for him. You're advertising for him. Well, I can't do this, and that won't work out, and this will never be good, and that's all. This is all. We're doomed over here. Oh, well, thank you very much. In that wonderful anti-scripture that we are confessing all the time. There's this commercial. Maybe you heard it. Maybe you saw it. Fellow walks in the room, and his wife is looking out the window, and he says, honey, what's wrong? And she turns around, and she gives him this look. Nothing. He says, okay. And he turns around, and he exits, so he knows there's obviously something wrong, but we're just not going to talk about it. We're just not going to deal with it. It's just going to brew until it explodes. And isn't it going to be miserable? Well, how do I get rid of these emotions I don't want? How do I cope with a bad day? Okay, I've quoted my scripture and so on, but how do I deal with what's going on? First and foremost, find out what you are feeling. Name it. Are you anxious? Are you depressed? Are you angry? Are you sad? Are you grieving? Find out what's going on. Some of you are very well equipped to know exactly what you're feeling in the moment. Some of us, it really takes a while to discover what it is I'm feeling. It may feel like other things. But when you discover exactly what you're dealing with, then you can apply a cure to that. You know what scripture to use. You know what to walk through to get up out of whatever that is. But until you know, you're going to be applying cures that don't cure that. You're going to have the wrong cure there. So it may take a little while, and that's all right. Ask the Lord about it. Quit denying it. And Lord, I'm kind of out of sorts today, and I'm sorry about that. I know I should be better, but I'm not. Would you show me what's going on inside? And the Lord will begin to reveal to you one step at a time exactly what it is. And then when you name it, that's important. Once you've named it, you may have to have an honest conversation with somebody. Well, you know what? This just isn't right between me and so-and-so, and we need to make it right. And so, gulp. I'm going to man up here, I'm going to woman up, and I'm going to make the phone call or make some kind of communication here, and we're going to make this thing right or get it worked on. Or you may have to do something that changes things. Often we have something hanging over our head, a deadline of some kind, and we know we need to get it done. It's a little early for doing your taxes just yet. All your paperwork hasn't come in just yet. But I don't know if you ever feel that way. I do, you know, April 15th is coming and I need to file my taxes and I need to make sure that. Well, a couple of things that I try to keep in mind. If you ever have to kiss a frog, kiss it first thing in the morning. Get that off your list. If you have to kiss two frogs, kiss the ugly one first. You know, just get it, take it, get it out of the way, and then that's off your list, and it's off of your mind. So there may be something, a lot of times we're dragging something along because we don't want to deal with it, we don't want to cope with it, but if you just face it, you find out, you know what, that was easier than I thought it was going to be, and I'm glad to have it off of my heart and off of my mind. It'll give you a little bit of a bounce in all these things. So if you're out of sorts, you're out of sorts. We all get out of sorts sometime. Be honest about that with yourself. Be honest about that with your spouse, somebody else. You haven't had, I do not have it. Yeah, I know. What do you think's going on? You know, your spouse will be very helpful to you if you let them. But so often we take up sides. We defend our attitude and then add to our, by the time we're done, we're successful in giving them an attitude that isn't so good. And we end up trying to undo that one, but find out, well, that's not so easy to do either. So maybe you just have to clean off your desk. Maybe you need to clear your calendar for a little. Maybe you have to tell some people, no, I'm sorry, I just can't. I know I always have, and I would love to some more, but I just need a little bit of time right now. Many of us have found freedom and joy in things we used to hate because we walk through the steps of recovery with God. Lord, here it is. I have to do this. There's no way of getting out of it. Would you help me with my sour attitude? You have to go to school. Boy, I hated to go to school for a lot of years when I was younger. You can learn to love school. Boy, I hate my job. Oh, man, that's a terrible place to be. How long you got to go till you retired? 27 years? Wow, that's heavy. God, it would take you to do this. I've tried. I can't. Would you show me how to either love this job or get another one? And let's get through this thing. Don't become satisfied with bitterness. Don't become sad. Some people are raised in dysfunctional homes where misery is home. Some people, if there's not anxiety and stress, it doesn't feel like home. They don't like the anxiety, they don't like the stress, but that's what they're familiar with. And God is in the business of delivering us from that and bringing us into a life of freedom and joy with one another, as uncomfortable as freedom and joy can be, as uncomfortable as peace can be to some folk. I mean, you calm some people down, you give them a calm atmosphere, and they're crawling the walls. But learning how to, you mean to tell me I don't have to be somewhere else right now? You mean to tell me there's nothing else I should be doing in this moment? Oh, it's freaking me out. You know, I got to be busy. No, you don't. No, you don't. You can learn to embrace the quiet. Now, Pastor Leek gave me some golden advice a long time ago. He said, Joel, he said, there will be times when you're just running. But every once in a while, there will be this season when things calm down and you're going to think you're doing something wrong because it's all quiet and good. Enjoy it. Take a deep breath, say thank you, Lord, and enjoy it. And learn to work margin into your life and into the things that you deal with. It's good to have an evening. You're not obligated to do anything else but veg for a while. That's a wonderful gift from God. Take it, use it, you know. There might be a few hours in the middle of the day. Things quieted down and got calm. Yeah, go through your checklist. Make sure that, you know, you didn't have to pick the kid up from school or something like that. You know, don't leave them hanging. But enjoy your life. God gave us all good things to enjoy. Don't become satisfied with being bitter. Oh, well, this is my life and welcome to it. And oh, yeah, I knew it. I was going to rest and relax, but then the phone rang, and now, yeah, I knew it. No, you shut up. He can make all things work together for good. Let me give you a key to life. Happy people win. Happy people win. Be happy. Get happy. Find happy. Study happy. Learn how to get there. Rich people can be miserable, and poor people can be happy. Healthy people can be miserable, and sick people can be happy. You learn how to cope with life. You learn the keys and the gifts that God gives to you. Happy doesn't happen naturally. I think cranky is much more natural than happy is. I don't know that there was ever a baby born in the world with a smile on its face. That's how we start. Please may we finish with a smile on our face, not go out like we came in. It may not be natural, but God will teach us how to do this. Oh, I guess I wasn't meant to be married. This is harder than I thought it was going to be. God will teach you how to be married. Oh, my. I wish hospitals were like Walmart and we could take this thing back. Wow. No, God will teach you how to parent. He'll bring you along. It'll be all right. Happy people win. Those of you who tend to garden, you know all about weeds, and we've talked about them in sermons in the past. How many go to all the trouble of planting weeds in your garden? You just, oh boy, got a garden, the plants are doing well, but we need some weeds. Where can we get some weeds? You don't have to go buy weed seed, do you? They just naturally come. And even though you're meticulous about it, you know, some people, they hoe and they chop off the weed and they go on. And other people, they get down on their hands and knees and they pull them up out by the roots. Yeah, now we're done with weeds, right? Because we got them out by the roots. Wow, they appear again next week. And if you don't look after it, they'll be bigger than your plants in no time at all. Bitterness will outgrow your happiness if you're not careful. You don't tend your garden. If you don't take care of those bitter things as they appear, and when they come, they're easier to take care of than when you let them really get rooted in there. So check your attitude every day. Look for those bitter things that are there. And pink, 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 pink. Lord, help me. I need to get rid of this. I need to do better than this. And you're never too old to learn. You're never too old to get better. God is good, and He seasons us. And He brings us into new seasons. Now catch this line. I don't think I even understand this line, even though I wrote it. But I think it's great. Make it a goal, but not an obligation to be happy. Okay, what do I mean by that? If you feel obligated to be happy, you're never going to quite get there, and you're going to feel guilty all the time. Well, I'm supposed to be happy. What's wrong with me? But if it's a goal, I'm on my way to happy. And I'm learning these things, and it's good when I am happy. I enjoy it when I am. But I don't have to be happy today. And if I'm not happy today, it's all right. I'm on my way back to happy. I may have fallen off, and I'm getting back there. Because we had this thing in Christianity where, you know, we went through this season of positive confession where you couldn't, no, you know, if you had any pain, it was your fault. And if you were sick, it was your fault. You did something wrong, or there's sin in your life, or all this kind of, it's just trash talk. Make people more miserable when they're already miserable enough. But, and so everybody pretended to be happy. And they put this smile on it. Yeah, never better. Is that line number two or line number one in the song? Yeah, never better. And liar, liar, pants on fire, eating your curds and whey. And it drove the misery deeper because you weren't venting what was making you sad. You weren't getting help for it. You weren't confessing it to one another so you could be healed. It was just getting bottled up and getting all, you know, what is that? Moss, not moss. What's that stuff? Mold. It gets all mold and stinks and all that bad stuff. So, generally speaking, I'm a happy guy. But I have my moments, and it's okay to have a moment every once in a while, but I'm on my way back to happy, because God is helping me with that. And please, we love you enough, you don't have to be happy around us all the time, okay? We're not going to judge you, because we have our moods and we have our times too. And you need a safe place where you can vent every once in a while. Just say, hey, you know what, I could use some prayer, or this is what's going on in my life. And get back to happy by getting the help that is necessary. It's not all, let me tell you what you want to hear so that you'll like me, or all that kind of stuff, but be honest with your happy. And if you're honest with you're not happy, then we rejoice with you when you're happy. You know, if you share a prayer request with us and you say, man, I'm really dragging about this, and then you come in next week and say, you know what the Lord did for me? Then we all rejoice, say, oh, isn't God good? And, you know, if God helped you with your unhappy, I think God's going to help me with my unhappy. I just need to be a little more patient, like you were patient, and now it's all going to be good. Our text goes on to mention anger, brawling, slander, and malice. You get the picture. This guy is on a slow burn. Probably you're not going to want to sit next to him on the bus or at work or what have you. We give people like that a wide berth, treat them with kid gloves. I didn't know what that meant, so I look it up. Kid gloves are gloves that are made out of fine leather from a young goat. They're very soft and very soft. You know, you got to be very soft, very careful with people. Treat them with kid gloves when they've got an attitude like that. Do you ever find people wincing when they see you or avoiding you? Now here's the second important question. Do you like that? Some people like that. They like when they step in the room, it gets quiet, or people shiver a little bit, or they have command of the stage, or what have you. Are you easily upset? Do you control others with your anger? Do you manipulate with your mood? It's not just how you feel, but you get what you want by being miserable. That's a very sad place to be, to operate out of misery. You may get what you want, but it won't help. They may serve you, but they won't be satisfied and joyful in that service. And check your attitude. Now, you probably don't recognize that you're like that. And you probably shut down anybody who might suggest, honey, you're in a bit of a mood. Then they get their head bit off. But again, watch yourself. It's amazing how we can see the speck in everybody else's eye, but we can't see the beam in our own eye. It's just our human nature. Become a student of yourself. Believe what people who love you say to you about yourself. Quit denying it, accept it, and work on it. What they're doing for you is worth millions. They're reflecting back to you. There's a sea of people out there that are going to treat you nice no matter how you are, and you're never going to find out about yourself. But the people who love you are going to tell you what you need to hear. And you need to take that to heart and ask God. And God's revealing it to you through them so that it can get better. If anyone is brave enough to tread on that soil, suggest that you're not the easiest person in the world to get along with, how do you respond? Both barrels blazing. They're never going to say that again, and so you don't have to deal with it ever again? Or do you accept that? Are you thankful for that encounter and open to the help? Paul says, be kind and compassionate, forgiving one another. How easily do you forgive? How Teflon'd is your spirit? How much still sticks to the pan? How long does it take to scrub it off? Or does it just slide right out? I love those commercials where they fry a couple of eggs with no butter or anything in it, and they just slide right off. I run right out, I buy that pan. I haven't found one yet that acts like the commercial. And that's the way it was supposed to be. Slides right off. I'm working on it. How about you? Lord, I want to have a Teflon spirit. It just doesn't even bother me. Did you hear what they said? No, not really. Did you see the look on their face? I didn't really notice. Oh, yeah, I guess I did, but yeah. They must be having a bad day or something. I know I have those sometimes too. We can forgive them. It'll be just fine. Find ways to improve your attitude. You know, like you, I was born with a selfish bend. Things didn't go my way. I had a total meltdown. I thought that's what the world was all about, was to make me happy. And when the world wasn't making me happy, well, it was time to throw a fit, to let the world know that it needed to improve. But we want to get better than that. Stop concentrating on the inner child, on yourself, and really even what makes you happy, even though we talked about happy. One of the best ways to find a little joy in life is, what can you do for somebody else? Find somebody who's hurting or miserable or having a difficult time and be a little ray of sunshine and bless them best you can. Get rid of the junk keeping you from focused on the Lord. Work on your heart today. The head, get it thinking good things. Feed it the Word of God. Turn from immorality to godly thinking. And then your heart. Get rid of all that bitterness and anger and those kinds of things. Be kind and compassionate, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. And make room for others in your heart, serving with joy. Even for the best of us, our ship gets rocked every once in a while. We go under the surf. And it's okay. You're not expected to bob right up to the surface with a fresh crop of enthusiasm and all. It takes some time to get through emotions and experiences that we have. But we learn to pilot better. You see kids with their video games, you know, they get killed 5 times in the first frame, but they stick at it and they stick at it and they stick at it until that frog can get across the lane of traffic. Yoo-hoo, you know, and then you keep working on it. Hey, that's life. That's life. You get to level 1, there's level 2, and then level 3. You can do this. God's going to help you. You're going to graduate the 7th grade. You're going to graduate high school. You're going to whatever. The Lord is going to help you be an overcomer. And you can never be an overcomer until you reach an obstacle. Amen. And there will be obstacles. God will see to it. The next obstacle is a little bigger than the last, but you're an overcomer. And just like you overcame the last, you're going to overcome the next as well. Sometimes it's more like mining diamonds than picking cherries. You got to dig through a shaft of solid rock. But the prize is always worth the work. God sees to it. Lord, why am I going through this? Well, you'll understand when it's over, and you'll be thankful that you overcame. Just stick with it. The next pick strike, the next shovelful, just keep working at it. You can trust the Lord. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he puts you to. And it will be worth it all as you get through it one pick at a time. Would you stand with me this morning?